Sactown Sports Headlines.
It's Simone Rickford with your Sactown Sports Headlines. Even though it was the second night of a back-to-back, Sacramento Kings found a way to manage a win with no sleep till Brooklyn.
Final seconds tick away. The win tonight is the 42nd of the season against 27 losses. They protect that number two spot in the Western Conference.
Beam business is booming because the Kings have officially clinched their first winning season since 2005-2006.
Like the beam, baby.
More good news for Sacramento and Kings guard Kevin Huerter as the MRI on his right hamstring came back clean following yesterday's contest. For more information on Red Velvet status and this historic Kings run, be sure to check out SactownSports.com and our Sactown Sports app. Those hotter-than-fish grease Kings are back in action tomorrow night in the nation's capital taking on the Wizards. Tip-off slated for 5 right here on Sactown Sports with game night coverage jumping off at 3:30. I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. Kyle, please hit that top spot one time for the one time.
Did you miss the headline and the top story of the day?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Don't worry, because we got you covered.
This is how we do.
It's the Cattles and Rami.
Top spot.
And what else would occupy the top spot with your two-seeded Sacramento Kings than that win over Brooklyn last night, 101-96. This team on the third of a four-game road trip, back-to-backs, having made the flight from Chicago to Brooklyn. They lose an hour in the time zone change, and man, they were tired. There's just no, they're human. And rest is important when you're a professional athlete. And they didn't get to their hotel room until about 3:30. And Mike Brown, who's not one to take it easy on his team, he lit into him after a win on national TV last week against the New York Knicks. Even he afterwards took that into account, that his team might have been just a little bit tired.
I never imagined that I would use that word with this team this year, gritty. The guys showed grit definitely tonight. You know, I told him I was proud of him. Game wasn't pretty offensively, but I thought we tried to get out and run. I thought we tried to move the ball. You got to give the Nets a lot of credit. They got long athletes that are 6'7" and bigger, and they just switch a lot of stuff. And sometimes that baits you into playing iso ball, which we did a couple of times tonight. And usually when that happens, we stall out, and we did at times. But I thought we were just gritty, and we found ways to get stops. And
some might say ugly. Sorry, Coach, didn't mean to step on you there. Some might call it ugly, Whitey.
You just interrupted the Coach of the Year.
By the way, that's Whitey Gleason in for Nick Cowles. It's the last hour of the show, folks. I'm
wow.
You know, they're going to be mistakes. I forgot to reintroduce Whitey. Stepped
right
on Mike Brown. It's hour four on
Man.
A Friday, folks.
Working for the weekend.
All right, exactly.
Your plus minus this hour is hot.
I'm the opposite of De'Aaron Fox. The first 3 hours, money.
Yeah,
no. Money. Fourth quarter, done.
You're saying you're Rashawn Holmes right now?
Oh, you didn't have to by name, Kyle. You didn't have to do it.
Okay,
by
the glass
name.
Is going to sleep back
well,
here.
Somebody call it ugly. Gritty was exactly the word that crossed my mind watching that game and thinking about that game afterwards, Whitey. That was a gritty, gritty victory for this basketball team.
Oh, they rebounded so well. They defended. I had to confirm that with you earlier.
Yes.
I thought they defended. Did I actually see that? Yes. And it was very impressive to me, the fact that Fox, who has been carrying them through the fourth quarters, as we know, all season long, and last night, because it was a second game of back-to-back and the travel issues, he didn't quite have it. He wasn't bad, but he didn't have that push, and it reminded me of a baseball team. Remember baseball? People used to watch baseball. Anyway, it was like, he's your closer.
Really?
And yeah, it used to be a thing. And it's like, your closer's down tonight. He didn't have the fastball. And they picked him up. And I remember Harrison Barnes taking it to the basket. And his teammates recognized that, and they still played within the flow. And it wasn't like, oh, what do we do now? It was really impressive, and it was very gritty the way they gutted that out down the stretch. A road win, second game of a back-to-back. That's heady stuff when you're thinking about how good can we be when it comes to, you know, playoff time.
And you mentioned the defense. Say it with your chest. You don't have to say playoffs like that. Why do you say it with your chest? No, they're going to the playoffs. Say it proudly, loudly.
Yeah.
Held them to 41.2% shooting. And I gave this number out earlier, but it bears repeating. For 47 minutes and 54 seconds, not a single second chance or fast break point. And that only happened because Cam Johnson weaved through the Kings in in the meaningless closing seconds of the game, they let him weave through and get that dunk. They called that a fast break. If not for that, it's the first time since 2015 that not just the Kings, any team in the NBA had not allowed points in either of those categories. That's remarkable when you talk about the defense of this team. By the way, also should mention, it's worth noting, obviously, first winning season since 2006 for this Kings
when
team.
Brad Miller was on the team.
Look at that. He's got the Brad Miller bobblehead. Yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, you see it, folks. Yeah. And I don't think we should just blow right past that as fans. They can as players. We talked with Jordy Fernandez. You'll hear a little bit of that in the call back at 5:30. They can't be caught up or hung up on a winning season. But as fans,
yes,
celebrate every little thing along the way.
And that's not a little thing. Right. You know, that's a big thing.
It's a really big thing, man. It's a really big thing when you haven't tasted it in 16 years. So I think enjoy it, celebrate it, relish in it. It's just another thing to enjoy about this Kings team in this season. And Whitey, you called last night. You said that it was one of the more impressive victories of the year, and maybe a sign.
In a way.
And maybe a sign that this team is getting even better, which is something that's kind of hard to believe.
Yes, because of the way they grinded one out. And this is a time of year when you would expect, if the Kings were going to fade, I'm sure there are still some people out there, you know, cynics like, yeah, it's great, watch this. That was the type of game where you'd think you'd start to see some of the cracks, especially with Kevin Huerter getting hurt. And instead, this team, I really noticed this with the win at Phoenix last weekend. They played the exact same way with the exact same amount of intensity, whether they were up in the first quarter or down in the third quarter or it was tied down the stretch. They have such confidence and they're such a strong team in terms, not that, we like each other. They complement each other and they're playing with such great confidence that I think that's one of the things that showed last night and allows them to get even better in some of those important areas like defense and rebounding.
Yeah, because we know that this team can go out and win the shootouts. We know that they can come out and just outscore you.
Some call them the best offense ever.
Best offense ever from the article we were reading by Zach Harper earlier in the show. They're averaging the most points per game since the Nuggets of the 80s, one of the highest flying teams ever in the NBA, especially since the ABA-NBA merger. And their offensive rating is the highest ever in the history. Now, there is some context in terms of, you know, the style of game today and how it's evolved and is always sort of shifting towards offense. But come playoff time, this might not be as true as it was back in the day, Whitey, with the game being as fast as it is, but it will slow down. It will get at least a little bit more physical come the postseason and the deeper you get in the postseason. So it is certainly nice to see that they got that club in their bag if they need to pull it out for a given night or a given series. I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I've said it throughout the season, expect this team to get better as the season goes on.
Yeah.
You got a first-year head coach. You got a lot of guys playing together for the first time in their careers. You got a rookie in Keegan Murray who you would expect to just get better as the season goes on and as he figures out more about the NBA in this game and more about himself as Mike Brown and the staff keep trying to unlock things about him. It might be a crazy thought for Kings fans right now, and especially just trying to enjoy and process how good this thing has been. It's a crazy thought for them and a scary thought for the rest of the Western Conference and the NBA. But yeah, man, the arrow might still be pointed up on a Kings team that has 42 wins, is 15 games above 500,
sitting
number two in the Western Conference. Like, that's wild enough on its own, Whitey, but the fact that the arrow might still be pointed up on this team, bright days are ahead for the Kings.
You pointed out a few moments ago that after the Kings beat the Knicks, Mike Brown was hard on them. And why was he hard on them? Because he talked about, we can't give up that many second chance points, even though we won. Well, look at what happened last night.
Yep.
Look what the job they did rebounding the ball. So maybe message, eventually receive there. And that's why I thought it was so interesting what he said last night. You just played the clip. And he says, I never thought I'd call his team gritty. And he's smiling. But he's talking to his team there. Like, this is what you have to be, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I never thought I'd call this team gritty. It's like he's calling out his team there because he knows that they still need to be challenged in that area. That's just one area, another area in which he's doing a really exceptional job this year.
And the Kings, a point I've made about this team, and one of the things I love about him, Whitey, is whether it's Mike Brown challenging them, whether it's just, you know, a heavyweight opponent in the opposite corner. They don't win every time, but when they're challenged, they answer the call more times than not. Even if it's not a W, like against the Bucks, that was a challenge, man. You saw a team that was championship caliber, and that was the first championship caliber team you'd seen in a while. And they went toe to toe with them and exchanged heavyweight blows with them for four quarters. And at the end, you found out why you weren't quite there yet, but they were up to the challenge. And Mike Brown, after that Knicks game, calls them out despite the win. They come out the next night. They really, really minimized Phoenix's impact on the offensive boards. And they were one of the best rebounding teams in the league. And I think they still are taking to heart. And that message is still rattling around in their heads of what Mike Brown said after that Knicks game. And you saw it last night against Brooklyn. You saw it against the Bulls. They heard what Mike Brown said.
Yes,
and
yes.
These guys want to be every bit Mike Brown says and believes that they can be.
Yes, he has their attention. He has their full attention. He has their full buy-in because they believe in him and they want to win. And it's just, it makes me shake my head to think about the deadline and the Kings. Hey, maybe they can get... Plumlee. We'll see. It'd be great if they added defensively. And then you had the Clippers and the Suns and the Mavs make these big moves. The Mavs are like, those two guys, Luka and Kyrie, they mesh okay, but they don't defend. Phoenix, of course, like, what happened to Durant? And then the Clippers have struggled at times with the fit with Westbrook, whereas the Kings get Kessler Edwards, and they're eight. They've won eight of their last ten. It's just amazing.
And you mentioned Kessler Edwards. You mentioned getting people's attention. We're going to talk about Kessler Edwards after a 90-second break here and how much attention this young man deserves exactly. That's next, Cattles and Ramen.
Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles.
And Rami.
On Sactown Sports.
That's the show. Rami here. Cattles in Vegas. JJ in Vegas. Kyle, Simone, other side of the glass. Whitey.
Hello.
In for Nick this afternoon. Whitey Gleason.
Thanks for having me here today.
That is. We'll hear
a
from
appreciate it.
Kings assistant coach. Thank you for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you. Jordy Fernandez, we'll hear from him coming up at 5:30 in other news before we get out of here at 5:45. But Kessler Edwards last night, again, contributing in a win and played most of the last 5 minutes over Keegan Murray, of all people. And that was with Kevin Huerter out of the game with the hamstring injury. By the way, in case you're just tuning in, haven't heard, MRI is negative. Kevin Huerter day-to-day with the hamstring injury, so that's good news. But Kessler Edwards, almost said Kessler Murray there, off the bench last night in 24 minutes, 10 points. He grabs three rebounds, dishes out an assist, and again, helps you out on defense and flash some defensive ability. And he said after the game, he didn't hide from the fact the Nets were the team that traded him to the Kings, and for not much, for basically a bag of basketballs, and he had this one circled on his calendar.
It means a lot. I've been looking forward to this game ever since I got traded. So the fact that I was able to come back here, get significant minutes, finish the game out with a win, it was probably one of the funnest games in my career so far. So it felt good.
He wanted this one. He showed it. 4 of 6 from the field. 2 of 4 from three. And he is. We talked about it before the break. Getting some attention, including the attention of his head coach, Mike Brown, impressed with what the young man did last night. And he told us so.
I think he's really good. I'm Mike Brown. I'm really glad he's on the team.
That's all right. That's all right. We won't hear from coach, but that's okay. Live radio, and it happens. Oh, we do have Mike Brown. Here's
the
Mike Brown.
The thing that he did, he just kept himself ready, and that ball found him a couple of times. And you know what I like about him is he's not afraid of the moment. He's going to step in and let that thing fly, and we want all our guys to be able to do that. And, you know, had a great cut. when Domas got double teamed, coming back to the ball. I don't know how he made the pass to, I don't know who it was, Malik, I think, in the corner, and Malik hits a big three. That was a huge play. And then, you know, he had a couple of rebounds that were big for us. And you know, to do those things while guarding Spencer Dinwiddie, guarding Mikal Bridges, you know, guarding guys like that, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, just to be able to keep your poise, keep trying to show your hands, keep trying to do all the other little things that we're asking him to do.
You were talking before the break, Whitey, about the fact that, you know, you were watching literally all nine teams in the playoff slash play-in picture made moves leading up to the trade deadline. Nine of the ten, the only one that didn't make major moves was the Kings. And the only move that they made was Kessler Edwards. And I think most Kings fans, they looked at that as like, okay, like maybe this guy.
A little disappointment
Disappointment. Overall. And maybe this guy's like a project who can be like a bench player a year or two down the road. You know, I don't think anybody thought he could be a contributor for this team this year. Do you think he's shown enough that he's earned some playoff minutes, some playoff run in rotation?
He's on track for that. Obviously, he's got to keep it up. But Frankie made an interesting point today in the station. He said people are going to remember this year. This is going to be one of those years that in years to come, people are going to look back on this year. Oh, I remember that game and that game. To your point, I think one of the things I'll always remember about Kessler Edwards was, again, that game last weekend against Phoenix when he came in a key situation and he took a horrible shot, missed everything. Then I think he turned the ball over. Then he came back and made a huge shot. As Mike Brown said, he's not afraid to let it fly.
Right.
That's big time. You know, for a guy who doesn't play to make a really, you know, take a bad shot, and maybe the smart thing would be, yeah, I better give it up here. And he just let it fly. So, yeah, he's definitely on track to not only getting playoff minutes, but to being a really important part. If he can continue to defend, you make threes and defend, there's every team has a spot for you.
Yeah, one of the things that I love about Mike Brown and his coaching style, and as well as just the culture of this team, and I think it's a common trait with just about any winning team, is the ability to foster belief in each other. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And I think Kessler Edwards has that instinct that you talked about of coming down and taking that shot, even though he just missed a terrible shot a couple possessions before. I think on some level, you either have that wired into you or you don't, where
right.
The moment isn't too big for you and you have confidence in yourself. But also, it helps when you have a coach that's saying, hey, let it fly. Don't let that get you down. You have teammates that are saying, hey, keep shooting. I know that last one was ugly, but keep shooting. That's a powerful thing. You know what that's a really powerful win to have at your back, when especially when you're somebody like a Kessler Edwards who doesn't have a long track record in this league. You know what I mean? The less success you have in a league, the shorter a track record, the easier it is to lose confidence in yourself. And so I think it's huge for him to come here, be a part of this thing with the tide moving really fast in the right direction, and having a coach and teammates that are saying, no, man, you're part of this. Go and let it fly, and don't let it get you down if you do miss a shot or two. And the reason why I think he definitely could be earning himself some playoff minutes is because of something we've talked about all season, which is this team is lacking that 3-and-D wing off the bench. Nobody thought you were getting that in Kessler Edwards, at least not one that was ready to help you now. If he can give you that, it goes back to something we talked about earlier in the show. Different ways to put the puzzle together. Different matchups, different types of teams you're going to see as the playoffs go along. And being able to go to different combinations and rotations and lineups, Kessler Edwards gives you something you have not had coming off the bench for this team to this point in the season. I think, like you said, if he continues to do this to end of the season, you can't keep that dude on the bench for the entirety of a playoff run.
Yeah, not easy to keep it going, but if he does, he's on track for that. I want to give the coaching staff and the GM credit, but the players always deserve most of the credit. I know in the past I've been guilty of saying, the manager did this or that, and Coco Crisp told me one time, it taught me a lesson. So Kessler gets most of the credit for this, no question. But the coaching staff and the GMs have done a great job of finding not only Kessler Edwards now, but all these players, guys that, all right, they're going to be able to do what we do, how we do it in the half court. You know, player movement, ball movement, that's what it's all about. It's a great job of recognizing this guy fits what we do. Because I think of the Kelly Oubre with the Warriors a couple years ago, and I thought, Kelly Oubre is really good. This will be great. And it's like, he didn't even know where to stand. So and it's just, you know, and he puts up numbers with like, no, nope, he ain't a guy for this system. So great job, Kessler Edwards mostly, but also the coaches and the GM for recognizing that's a guy who can do things the way we do things.
Yep. It's been one another one of those really cool things to watch about this basketball team and seeing how much they enjoy what like his teammates and putting the defensive player of the game chain on him a couple nights ago, seeing how much they're enjoying watching Kessler Edwards find himself in the NBA. I love that about this locker room, man. It's an easy and fun bunch to root for that you got here in Sacramento. Right after this, one of the guys who's helping Coach Brown lead that charge, assistant coach Jordy Fernandez. We'll hear from him in the callback.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sactown Sports. Sactown Sports.
Headlines.
It's Simone Rickford with your Sactown Sports headlines. Even though it was the second night of a back-to-back, Sacramento Kings found a way to manage a win with no sleep till Brooklyn.
Final seconds tick away. The win tonight is the 42nd of the season against 27 losses. They protect that number two spot in the Western Conference.
Beam business is booming because the Kings have officially clinched their first winning season since 2005-2006. More good news for Sacramento and Kings guard Kevin Huerter as the MRI on his right hamstring came back clean following yesterday's contest. For more information on Red Velvet status and this historic Kings run, be sure to check out SactownSports.com and our Sactown Sports app. Those hotter-than-fish grease Kings are back in action tomorrow night in the nation's capital taking on the Wizards. Tip-off slated for 5 right here on Sactown Sports with game night coverage jumping off at 3:30. I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. Happy Friday. Kyle, please hit the callback.
I'm going to light up these phone lines.
The phone is ringing. And we are checking to see who's on the line.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
News, gossip, a story.
Okay, who's the next victim?
It's the callback
on Cattles and Rami.
That's what it is. No Cattles. Rami's here, as well as Whitey Gleason in for Nick Cattles. And we had the distinct pleasure of talking with Kings assistant coach Jordy Fernandez earlier in the show. And Whitey, you asked him about Domas and playing with the injury and how that sort of sets the tone or the example for this team. And he brought up the fact that, yes, Domas, but also, do we have it loaded and ready to go? Also, Keegan Murray kind of sets that tone as well.
No, Keegan is a superstar, a rock star. He's even keeled. He, you know, plays, you know, really hard. And you know, like, as you know, he may not show his emotions, but he cares and he tries to get better every day. He is a rookie starting in a winning team in the West. So it's a big challenge, but he's responding. And, you know, we've seen Keegan scoring a lot of points. We've seen Keegan struggling with certain matchups. And we've seen Keegan that even he struggles to score. Now the other day, he rebounded very well. Yesterday, he had a very good defensive half against Mikal Bridges, who's a very, very good player. So Keegan has been amazing for our group, and he's just going to get better.
When he first said that, Whitey, it raised my eyebrows, almost made alarms go up because I was like, is Keegan Murray dealing with more injury wise than what we thought? But I think what Coach Fernandez was saying there was watching Keegan Murray as a rookie go through the ups and the downs of a season and stay right here, stay even keel. That guys look at him and go, if a rookie can do that, Then I can. And I never thought about that, of a rookie being able to sort of set that tone that way, that even keel tone of, we don't get too high, we don't get too low when things are good and when things are bad. I never thought about it, but that could be a powerful thing for a basketball team, for a rookie to be able to set that kind of example.
It's also possible that he does have something that's a little nagging that, you know, we all do that, you know, that we're not really aware of. That's been a little bit of an issue for him. And Coach Fernandez caught himself and realized, we don't really need to talk about that.
My dupliteus muscle this morning. Oh,
just, I was going to say, it looks a little swollen.
Yeah, did you notice a little bit of a hitch in my giddy up because of my dupliteus?
That guy's got bad dupliteus right there. Look at that.
That'll catch up on you, that dupliteus. Also, speaking of injuries, obviously the injury on most Kings fans' minds today is that of Kevin Huerter, who left last night's victory over Brooklyn with a hamstring injury, limped off and didn't come back. And you're wondering when when Kevin Huerter might be ready, might be back. We found out today that he's day-to-day. MRI was negative. Here's what Jordy said about the Kevin Huerter injury and what it might mean for this basketball team.
Losing Kevin would have been, you know, not good for the rest of the team. He, as you said, like plays a big role for us, you know, plays a lot of second side pick and roll, a lot of shooting, like, you know. But the good news, you know, is he's day to day. I talked to him today. He's in a good place. So whenever he's ready to come back, we'll be happy to have him back. At the same time, I think right now, you know, because we have a deep roster and the rest of the players have played very well, we'll be able to compete. So it's good that if he's back right away, great for us. If he's not and needs a day or two, then it's an opportunity for somebody else. And we'll be happy for that next guy to step up and, you know, and have a bigger role.
That's great news, Whitey. That it doesn't look like Kevin Huerter is going to miss much time and is in good spirits, as you heard Coach Fernandez say there. Because, and it's a weird thing to say when the guy is hurt and probably won't be available to him tomorrow in Washington, and I'm guessing for at least a few games after that. But it's another stroke of luck for this Kings team when you talk about the injury situation that they've had. Their starting five has played 90%+ of their potential minutes so far this season, which is leaps and bounds ahead of just about everybody else in the NBA, or the second place team when you talk about that. It's good that it doesn't look like he'll miss much time. In the meantime, though, every game is big. You're jockeying for position here. You're trying to hold on to the 2 seed in the Western Conference, or at least get a home playoff series and hold off a couple of teams. They are going to need some guys to step up and fill that void that a Kevin Huerter leaves for however long he's gone, if they're going to hold on to this strong position that they put themselves in.
So you want to hear my idea for a song?
Please.
I'm no Mo Reagan, but
yes.
You know, the offense has been so good. So you know the song Knocking on Heaven's Door?
Yes.
Yeah. So this would be sung by another team, and they're like lamenting they can't stop this team. And it's Fox, Keegan, and Kevin score.
Yes!
Fox, Keegan, and Kevin score.
Keegan, and Kevin score.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, we don't want to play those guys. They're too good. Fox, Keegan.
And Kevin score.
Yeah. That's my idea. So we need him back.
I love it.
And he's going to come back.
I love it.
Yeah.
For me, Keegan Murray, with the guy we were just talking about, he more than anybody is the one I'm looking at to fill this void, though.
Yeah.
He's gone a little cold lately in terms of the scoring. He does other things, and as Coach Fernandez said, he's not gonna get down. But we need that 3-point shooting that you're missing with a Kevin Huerter. You'd like to get it back from a Keegan Murray in the meantime, till whenever you get Kevin Huerter back. Also, you, Whitey, asked him about the possibility after rumors a couple weeks ago that the Atlanta Hawks were interested in Jordy Fernandez as a head coach. They have their head coach. They made their hire, so it won't be Atlanta. But someday, somebody is going to come knocking on Jordy's door. And this is what he had to say.
Right now, you know, my focus is to make his life better, like you said. And I just take every single day as a learning day on how to build and how to build relationships and how to lead a project, how to lead a team, how to be a good people and holding people accountable, and being a really, really good human, either, you know, sometimes making mistakes, but owning it and moving forward, all those things make Coach Brown who he is. Me personally, I'm extremely lucky that, you know, like, he brought me here and I'm here with him right now. And you know, like you said, maybe one day is my chance to be a head coach. But right now my mind is
sure
to be in the playoffs with Sacramento and be here for, you know, a long time with him.
I think he could be a really good one, Whitey.
He will be.
And
he will be.
You don't want to lose him, but it's one of the costs of winning. You know what I mean? People are going to want to poach guys from you. There will be somebody off this Kings bench probably that somebody comes a call in to give a starting job somewhere, and there will be guys off of Mike Brown's bench and his staff that, that are going to be head coaches elsewhere, probably starting with Jordy Fernandez, I would imagine.
Yeah, just look at the Warriors when they won in 2015 and what a great staff they had. And Mike Brown wasn't even part of that staff at that point.
True.
But he had to replace because Luke Walton, we all know what happened there. But, yeah, it happens when you have a successful program.
And you can sort of extract this out to another sport and a team that's really – that's been dealing with this for a few years and have done a really good job of dealing with it. You look at the 49ers. And how Kyle Shanahan's staff keeps every year gets somebody. D'Amico Ryan's the latest to get the head coaching job in Houston.
Coach Sala,
takes guys with him too. Mm-hmm. When you talk about a passing game coordinator, whatever the case might be,
Mike McDaniel, yeah, on
to,
and on.
To sustain long term success, you got to know how to restock that cupboard when teams come calling for your assistant coaches and want to make them head coaches, because it's gonna happen. It's bound to happen, and there's really. No, nothing you can do about it. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, it's Friday. We like to wrap it up on a lighthearted note. In other news, next on Cattles and Riley.
Did you catch all the week's headlines?
Check the headline. Check the headline. Here's the headline.
Let the fellas fill you in on this week's In Other News.
Yeah, just before we get to some of the more weird and wacky news in and out of the world of sports, Kyle told me something that's probably more unbelievable than anything you're about to hear.
Shocking.
In other news. And that is that Simone Rickford, update anchor, assistant producer of the Cattles and Rami show, she picked, who is it? Fairleigh Dickinson?
Fairleigh Dickinson, the 16 seed. To beat the one seed Purdue, and it's happening.
How deep are we in this game, and what's the score?
It is Fairleigh Dickinson 54, Purdue 53, with three minutes to play.
Still a lot of time, not but that could really upset some people.
Yeah, myself included. What made you pick Fairleigh Dickinson? By the way, sounds like a character from The Sound of Music.
Right.
Fairleigh Dickinson.
No, Oklahoma. It reminds me of what Whitey was saying, talking about being a consultant. Sometimes, you know, these teams are just drawn to you, you know? And
something spoke to you about Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yep.
That is cute.
16.
It is a cute name. It is a cute name for sure. All right. So.
Like yesterday, I found out Louisiana. They're the Ragin' Cajuns, and I was like, if I knew that was their name, I would have picked them too.
I want to put this game on the TV in here, but I know I'll just be too distracted.
Just gotta click up, down, up, down.
That's the channel that the game is on. And then
as Francesca told it, no. But if they're, I don't want to be too distracted by that, but if anything
the
happens,
madness. You'll see us explode
in
the next
jump
room.
In and let us know.
Absolutely.
If the upset is pulled off or if Purdue comes back and puts an end to that.
But, my goodness.
Let's get some in other news in. This comes to us from Georgia, where 50-year-old Belinda Miller of Augusta is charged with felony, aggravated assault, and criminal damage to property in the first degree. It was just after 7:45 p.m. Saturday. Richmond County Sheriff's deputies responded to a Popeye's chicken restaurant in Augusta for an accident with injuries. The Popeye's manager told deputies Miller drove her SUV into the east entrance after she became upset that her order did not have any biscuits, according to
the justifiable
incident
report. As long as no one was injured, that's justifiable.
The manager told authorities Miller's order was corrected and she received her biscuits prior to the incident. Ooh. But Miller was still not happy. Prior to the incident, the manager said the woman made several threats to staff, even calling and threatening to drive her car into the building. According to reports, one of the employees who was standing by the entrance was almost struck by the car during the incident.
That's not good.
Miller continued driving after hitting and entering the building until her car was stopped by debris, according to arrest warrants. So this woman was like,
love that chicken from
biscuits.
Exactly. Love that chicken from Popeye's.
Came back around. They gave her her biscuits. She was still like, not good enough. I'm going to drive my car through the front of your store. And they didn't take her seriously, folks. And that's where they messed up, is they did not take her seriously.
If I'm a defense attorney, if she hadn't gotten the biscuits at all, I'm taking that case. Because I can... It's like, yeah, you didn't get your biscuits. You got to gripe. But the fact that she got them and then still drove the car, I'm not, I don't, I don't think I want
anything like with
it.
You. When I read the headline, yeah. I was like, have you had Popeye's biscuits?
Exactly. Exactly.
You short me on some biscuits, I might want some revenge, too. Whitey, you got anything for in other news this afternoon, sir, to share with us?
82-year-old Colorado man. Does anyone know... let's see. Mayo Gilbert McNeil. Watch out for him.
I have not.
Mayo is a great nickname.
Yeah,
Mayo
Gilbert. He's charged this week with selling and trading fake Michael Jordan basketball cards.
And,
no. Yeah, and, you know, I figure, oh, what did he get, like $50 or something? Over 4 years, he's made with this fake Michael Jordan basketball card scheme more than $800,000.
What?
So this was
a cash
this
grab.
Was an ongoing scam that he had. This wasn't just like a one-time thing. He had a
He started in 2015, included the 2019 sale of a counterfeit card to a victim in New York for $4,500. 2017 deal, he traded two fake cards for two authentic Tom Brady cards. Which
this seems like a cash grab.
Yeah. The DA says, yeah, these cards were in fact counterfeit. He says, I did nothing wrong, declining to comment. So that's another,
I didn't know you could $1,000. I mean, I guess it makes sense. I didn't know you could counterfeit cards, though.
That's... Well, there's pictures. If these pictures are accurate, he's got them slabbed and PSA, authenticated.
Incredible.
And if it looks like maybe he somehow forged the authentication.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
$800,000.
Brutal.
I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. I want to know.
No.
I know. There is that. Yeah.
Big week for Michael Jordan and selling.
Were you guys ever big into that nicely played Kyle? Have you guys ever big into card collecting?
Still am.
You are?
Yes.
Okay. So did you get out of it and then get back into it?
Yes. During the pandemic, got back into it.
All right.
A lot of
Kyle, what happened? I just saw Kyle.
Fairly Dickinson's up 3 with 2 minutes.
Oh, my God. Okay. This is gonna happen. I think
let's hope.
I was a huge card collector when I was a kid, teenager, and they're all. I'm amazed because the industry almost died. Like the industry almost completely died, and now it's back and it's booming and all kind. Not just baseball or sports cards. I saw.
Well, Mayo ain't helping, by the way. But you're right.
True. I saw Blake Martinez, the former Giants lineman. He retired to sell Pokemon cards and has already made like $5 million, almost as
much as
he did.
Don't get me started on Pokemon cards. I have a story for another day.
Okay.
My brother pawned off a very valuable card of mine without my knowledge. So,
but how much did he get?
A bunch of garbage Pokemon. I'll just say it now. He traded a holographic Charizard, if you're familiar with that.
Holographic Charizard.
It was the most like rare, expensive one you could have, and he traded it away for maybe 8 other just mid ones.
Wow.
It was devastating. I mean, we still have this conversation.
You traded a holographic Charizard for some mid?
Some mid, dude. We had like, I don't know, Chameleon, like just some Ninetales. It was just whatever, just mid.
Not a Ninetales. That's, I have no idea. It's
the Kawhi Leonard trade of Pokemon cards.
Yeah. Wow. But I say this to say that all my cards are just in boxes at my parents' house. And I'm sure there are things of value in there. I'm just too lazy to go through them all. Are there reliable, trustworthy services that you can hand over your card collection to? And be like, parse through this, tell me what I got.
Yeah. You have to pay them, but yeah.
And they're reliable? You can trust them?
Yeah.
They'll swap them out.
No, Whitey, I just met you today. I don't know you.
I mean, I can do it for a pretty nominal fee.
I like you so far. Yeah. I don't know you that. I don't know you, Whitey.
We all do it for $100.
Simone, what do you got for in other news?
No,
this
my
Friday
other
afternoon?
News is we're watching this Purdue situation. That's what I'm bringing to the table. Luckily, Kyle has something like lined up for
Go
us
ahead,
real
Kyle.
Nice.
What do you got?
Whitey, Rami, are you guys familiar with the game show Jeopardy?
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my favorite things that
you told me you wanted to do this.
Yes.
That's
one of my favorite things about Jeopardy is when the sports category comes up, because nobody on Jeopardy who can get all of these incredible questions right can get sports correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Gifted minds.
So this week there was a sports category that came up and everyone got it wrong. Just all 5 questions, no responses, even some wrong ones. And so I wanted to see if you two...
You're about to test me and Whitey here, huh?
Yes, I wanted to see...
Hey, real quick, can you tell me what channel that game is?
It's one up, one down, Rami.
No, seriously.
Come on.
What's the channel? What is the actual channel?
I can get it for you in a second, but... Let's, in the meantime.
Why aren't they switching?
You have the question for us, huh?
So here's the category. So
the answer.
I'm gonna read you names of thing like terms in sports, and you have to name the sport. So
it's
for example,
on TNT.
Which is what number, Simone?
737.
737. All right. Go ahead.
So here's the thing. So if I say, for example, touchdown, field goal.
Sure, we know.
Bing.
Yeah.
Football.
Yeah, football. What
so
is football?
I'm going to give you the sport. I'm going to give you the terms. You have to say the sport.
Okay.
Okay, this is the $200 question.
All right.
Inherited runners, appeal play, pickoff.
Baseball. Bing. What is baseball?
What is baseball?
There you go.
Thank you. All right. Are we competing here, Whitey?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No, we're just trying to do better than the people
okay.
playing.
Right.
And
right.
we're already one for one.
All right.
Next one. Best ball, casual water, closed faced, and the absolute worst shank.
What is golf?
Yeah, right. Look at that.
Okay, we got 500. We got 500 in our bank.
Oh, we'll take sports turns for three.
All right. The next one. 8 count, accidental butt, cut man for said accidental butt.
What is boxing?
3 for 3.
All right.
You pick one now.
I will go sports for 400, Alex.
It's, you know, 200, 400, 600,
whatever.
800.
I did not know that. I don't want you to be pretty. No,
you're missing out.
I'm at work.
Also,
sorry,
rest in peace,
Daily
Alex
Double?
Trebek. Pew, 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 pew. Next one we have. Penalty killing, plus minus, the 5 hole, and the biscuit.
What is hockey?
There
is
you
hockey.
Go. 4 for 4.
Look at us.
So talented, you guys.
Not that impressive.
Look at us.
Last one we
this
have
is
here.
$1,000. This is a big one.
Can we clean house when Jeopardy got 0?
All right.
We have chucker, gag bit, mallet, a lot of money.
Hmm.
What is would that be
what is polo? Cricket?
Oh, I bet it is,
what is
cricket.
I'm going to say cricket. What are you saying, Whitey? What's your final answer?
I would say what is polo, but I'm
polo?
Not. Oh.
I'm going to say what is cricket? Is my final answer.
We are 5 for 5. Oh! Whitey Gleason got it. Polo.
Oh!
Polo.
Oh,
Whitey Gleason from downtown. Oh, my God. Fairleigh Dickinson's up 5.
They're up 5 with a minute 3 left to go. I think they're going to pull it. I think, forget they. I think Simone is going to pull this off.
Give me my flowers. Thank you very much.
I think Simone is going to do this. They're up 5 with a minute left.
This is when the one seed, whoever it is in this situation, they get so tight, right? They're tight as a drum, and then the 16 is like, this is great.
Dude, you don't see 116.
No, I know.
It's one
other time. One
and I think 118 all time.
Wow.
Nice.
Yep.
Wow.
I aim to please.
That's amazing. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
UMBC in 2018 was the only one.
Wow. Hey, Whitey, thank you for sitting in.
Thank you.
On
thank
the
you.
Show
Pleasure
today.
Appreciate
we appreciate you, sir. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of fun doing it. Also, thanks to Jordy Fernandez, Kings assistant coach, Jason Aponte of Niner Nation. If you missed either of those, you can always go and watch them at youtube.com/SacktownSports, SacktownSports.com. Or on our handy dandy, totally free app. Simone, Kyle, awesome job on the updates and on the other side of the glass. And of course, thanks to everybody out there in Sacktown Sportsland for watching and listening and participating. For Whitey Gleason, Simone, Kyle, I'm Rami saying thanks for listening to Cattles and Rami. Have a good weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you Monday. Stay safe. Don't get too stupid with this St. Patrick's Day stuff, all right?
Hoagie's a journeyman golfer. This is a golf there, of course, in Point of Vieja. He went coach on the way home. Now, he doesn't make Smith money.
Oh, Lord.
But $1.3 million to fly coach. Has anybody flown coach lately? Has anybody been on an airplane lately? What a disgrace. I just came back from a beautiful tan. I just came back from the Caribbean. Imagine what they bring on these planes, these people. They bring luggage. They bring tuna fish sandwiches. They bring black coffee that spills all over the place. They have all these bags. They put the bags in a first class compartment when they're sitting in 36F. This is an absolute disgrace. You can't travel anymore. The airline doesn't give you a darn thing. You get a peanut, you should be happy. A glass of water. No wonder he flies wheels up.
Now hurry, go on to the altar. I know you ain't a...
Remember what I taught you. Keep your heart three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. Three stacks. These girls are smart. Play your part. Play your part.